Stand and thank you, congregation. We are one big choir when we come together on Sunday mornings. Lift up praise to the Lord. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the topic, when life gets hard. Now, some of you are there right now. Feels like life is spinning out of control. Most of you have been there at one point in your life, and I'm sure that just saying those words will take you back to a time that was extremely hard. And all of us will be there at some point. That's just the nature of life in this world until Jesus comes again. I've had a few moments like that over the past month and a half. My wife and I were heading westward on I-80 like we have many times before, and driving the speed limits and in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden the car in front of us, which was a safe distance away, slammed on the brakes, leaving us no choice but to slam on our brakes and swerve to the right-hand lane to avoid a head-on collision. Once we got into the right-hand lane, we had to attempt to steer the car away because there were at least four other vehicles in the vicinity. At a certain point, the brakes locked up and we had no more control over the vehicle. It began spinning out of control. It started to turn. We actually did a complete 180, crossed back over the left-hand lane, and smashed right into the median barrier. Now, God spared our lives. If that barrier hadn't been there, we would have probably crossed into oncoming traffic. And the way that our vehicle hit the barrier totaled our car, but minimized the damage to us. We walked away with nothing more than neck and back pain. And God has been good. A few weeks later, we found ourselves in a hospital room, and my wife, Stacy, needed to have a surgery. They had said that it was going to be an outpatient surgery and that they would be letting her go after just a couple of hours. 1 to 4 hours, I think, was the window of time. Well, that turned into 48 hours. And I was there with her 24/7 for 2 full days as we went through the process of trying to figure out why she encountered a serious complication in the form of a pulmonary edema, which is fluid on the lungs. That was not supposed to happen. They didn't know why that happened. And so they had to go through the process of ruling out a number of serious causes for why that occurred, and they did so. We thank God that it wasn't a more serious cause involved. But what that produced was a much different kind of recovery picture for Stacy. Instead of a few days to a week, now it's looking like several weeks, and trying to regain the strength and the stamina in her lungs, get that fluid out and get that stamina back in her breathing. We thank God that she is making progress, and we just welcome and appreciate your prayers as she continues to make progress, slowly but surely. But those were a couple of moments where life seemed to be spinning out of control. And it was in those moments that we had to choose to look to the Lord for the strength that we needed. The one who was and is in control. I want to direct us to a passage that God directed me to over the past 6 weeks. And it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a powerful, powerful true story. And I found it in my old seminary Bible. Maybe you have some old Bibles or some old prayer journals, or you've recorded lots of notes what God was doing then. And sometimes it's fun to open up and see just what God was doing then. And sometimes He'll use those same lessons later in your life. So I've got my Bible here. It's kind of falling apart. It's been duct taped more than once. But it's got some treasures for us today. I want to share this with you, because God has used it in my life. As we look at this passage, which is about the people of Judah in the southern kingdom. And a good king by the name of Jehoshaphat, they're going to come under siege by a vast army. Some translations call it a vast horde of people. And the people of Israel were absolutely powerless in the face of this threat. And so we're going to see what they did. And it's going to be instructive to us as to what to do when life starts spinning out of control. We'll also see what God did and does every single time it seems like we're losing control. He's going to bring victory through that, and he always does that. So let's turn our attention now to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 30 today. And we're going to find three things in here for us to do in these kinds of situations. Just encourage you to write them down if you're taking notes. The first one we'll find in verses 1 through 13, and it's one simple word, pray. Let's see what they do. Verse 1, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. And so the people are standing and waiting upon the Lord in prayer. And it's Jehoshaphat, godly leader, is leading them and seeking God. And he's called a fast. This is an extreme situation. They're under attack. They are going to be obliterated by this army if God doesn't step in. And so they take extreme measures. They call a fast for all the people. And they come together, all of them together. There's a spirit of unity here. And we see that all the ages are present. Men, women, children, and little ones. Everybody's present in unity, waiting on the Lord in prayer. And that's the first thing that we observe here and that we want to do when we're in a similar situation, where things are out of our control, is to pray. It's to call on the Lord. And look at what Jehoshaphat's prayer includes. He reminds the Lord. Of course, the Lord doesn't need to be reminded. But in his prayer, he says, these are the same people that you told us not to destroy as you led us into the promised land. And so we obeyed you. And now look what's happening. They're coming after us to wipe us out. Have you been in a situation like that where God led you to do something and you obeyed him and then all hell broke loose? Sometimes it makes you question, did I hear God right? Probably you did. A lot of times we find ourselves in the midst of opposition and persecution exactly when we take those steps of obedience to God. But here's a situation. God told them previously, don't destroy this people. And we don't know why he said that, but we're going to find out that he had a plan in mind ultimately for these people. So they're coming after them. Another thing that I noticed toward the end in verse 12, we have no power to face this army that is attacking us. It's an acknowledgement that we don't have the power. But in prayer, we're going to the one who does have the power. And not just some power, not just more power than us, but all power. God is all powerful. He is omnipotent. So we go to him in prayer, who has all power. Notice what else they say. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't have the knowledge that we always need in every situation, but God does. God is all-knowing. God is omniscient. So when we come to him in prayer, we're acknowledging, God, you have all the answers. Help! By the way, that's a great prayer to pray when you find yourself in a tough spot. Just go to the Lord and say, help! It's a great, great starting place. Jehoshaphat was afraid when he got the news. That's a normal response. It's normal for us to feel emotions of fear. But what do you do when you have that fear? Do you take it and run away from the situation, or do you take it to the Lord and say, God, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't have any ability to control this or change this. But I know that you do, and my eyes are on you. That's what prayer is. It's putting our eyes on him, taking them off of the circumstances of our lives and putting them on to him and saying, Lord, I'm trusting you in this situation. So we need to pray. Secondly, beginning in verse 14, we need to proclaim. Let's find out how they did that and how we'll do that. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So here we see a prophet in Israel, and the role of a prophet was, as the Spirit moved him, was to proclaim God's word to God's people, a very specific message from the Lord to his people, giving them insight into what to do. And so the people come from the starting place of, this is happening to us, we don't know what to do, but you do, Lord, so we're coming to you. We're waiting on you in prayer, all of us, and we trust that you're going to show us what to do, and he does. He answers those prayers with a very specific word. The battle is not yours, but God's. Stand firm. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And he gives some specific directions. This is exactly where they're coming up. Just go out there and meet them, and I will be with you. So God is promising victory here, and that's exciting. That's exciting. That's encouraging. If you know that you're in a situation that you cannot control, but God gives you a promise that the outcome is going to be victory for you, doesn't that help you move through that kind of a situation? You know in the end it's going to be victory. You know along the way God is going to be with you. That is encouraging. So we see this happening here. So how do we proclaim? I like the word proclaim here because it involves speaking forth God's word. Well, we have God's word in His Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, the Bible. It is the fully inspired and inerrant word of God. And it contains for us promises that are directly applicable to us. And so all we need to do is take this word off of the shelf or wherever it is, open it up, and find 365 times, do not be afraid. Find promises of victory and deliverance that God has spoken to us. And when we find ourselves in these situations, I want to encourage you to proclaim God's word in your quiet time alone. Speak it out loud. It'll take you to a different level if you are speaking God's promises out loud. Do it as a family. If as a family you're going through a rough patch, gather together in unity around God's word. Open up to those promises of deliverance and ultimate victory for you. And speak them out loud. Declare them. And declare that you believe those promises. God will hear you. You will hear yourself saying that. The enemy will hear that. And the enemy, Satan, doesn't stick around whenever God's word is going forth. So I want to encourage you to do that. Pray. Also proclaim God's word right in the midst of the tough times. We've got one more thing for us to do here that we see God's people doing. And this is going to be very powerful. Because in this next section, we see the people of Israel going out to meet this vast army with total trust in the Lord that He is going to give the victory just as He said. So let's pick it up in verse 18, where we're going to see our third item here for us. Pray, proclaim, and number three, praise. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." As they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace for his God had given him rest on every side. Wow, what a victory here. People of Israel did not have to even lay a hand on the enemy. There's so much in this passage. We see God granting that complete victory to his people. But I want to focus on that word praise, because we see the people of Israel doing this before the battle, during the battle, and after the battle. They praised God after they heard the promise that you will have victory. Do not fear, I am with you. Take your stand. Face this in faith. They praised him then, before there was even a visible victory, because they trusted and believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Then they went into battle, and amazingly, they put the worship leaders at the head of the army. And they're marching into battle, singing praises to God. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And then God gives them this total miraculous victory, and what do? They don't forget it. They thank him, they praise him, right there in the valley of Baraka. And Baraka means praise. That's why it's called that. And they come back to Jerusalem, and they're still praising God, now at the temple, again with his people, praising God for the victory. God's people are just totally focused on praising the Lord. And we want to do that as well. You know, when you are in the midst of something, you don't have to wait until God gives you the victory. You can start praising him right away, because he has promised ultimate victory. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:28 applies to you. God works all things together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You can trust that. You can bank on that. You can praise him in advance. God doesn't change. I love how the worship leaders are at the head of the army, and we sometimes don't think about the aspect of worship as warfare. It truly is. When we stand up here together and we sing songs of praise that are filled with lyrics that are based on God's word, which is absolutely true, and we're saying, God, you are God alone, that's saying that every other god, false god, small g god in the entire world is not. Those are fighting words. We're taking a stand. We've chosen our side. We are worshiping the one true God. And that's a battle. That's a spiritual battle. So there's warfare involved whenever we're worshiping the Lord. And that's part of driving out the enemy. And praise God that he does that. I love to turn on worship music when I'm at home. Part of my devotions, even just going through the day. You know, if you are feeling heaviness or feelings of discouragement, that can just lift your spirit. Why? Because that music paired with those lyrics are helping you put your focus on God. Put your focus on God. Remember his promises to you. And it's helping you express as you sing along, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I know that you're at work. So we need to praise the Lord. And he will be faithful. He will bring that victory about. Well, how have Stacy and me seen victory in the past 6 months? Well, in a lot of ways, we're still seeing that unfold and seeing God's fingerprints involved. And I'm sure it will take time yet for us to process those things. But we've already seen several ways in which he's brought victory. Number one, we're alive. He saved us. He truly spared our lives in that car accident. And again, he protected my wife in a very serious situation. Not an exaggeration to say life-threatening complication. Number two, he gave us opportunities to witness. There were people at the roadside, construction workers, who helped us. And we were able to say that we believe the Lord spared us. We thank God for saving our lives, and we were able to witness to them. And again, my wife, even from her hospital bed, the nurses who were caring for her, got to learn about the Lord Jesus. And God sometimes sends us places we weren't planning to be. Wasn't on our schedule, wasn't on our radar, but there are people there that need to hear about him. And further, he's blessed us. Our car was totaled, but he's provided another safe vehicle for us. My wife's surgery was successful. The complication is what her recovery is about. But the surgery itself was successful. She is already experiencing less pain as a result. And we praise God for those blessings. And so, just as our car was spinning out of control, God was still in control and he was guiding us. Five other vehicles around, we never touched a single other vehicle. God is guiding you, even if you can't see that right now, and you're going through a hard time. He is sovereignly guiding your life and those around you. How will you see him at work through your trials? Just bring up something that you went through in the past, right now, or are going through right now, in the very present, that feels like it's out of control. Bring that to the front of your mind, and if you would, just say to the Lord, I trust you in this. I praise you in this. Help me in this. You know, our lives are a part of a much bigger story as well. God cares about every intimate detail of our individual lives. But the things that we go through are a part of a much, much bigger picture. God's people, thousands of years ago, we now take our place in the great history of God's people who are calling ourselves by his name. And all of us found ourselves in an impossible situation at one time. All of us were enslaved to sin and facing eternal death and condemnation. This was an enemy that we had no power to defeat. But what did God do? He invited us to put our faith in him as he fought and won the battle for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to rise again. And in those historical actions, God was fighting and winning the battle for us over sin completely, so that we could come along, we could have that opportunity to heed God's invitation to face this enemy in faith in God, that God was going to win this battle for us. And every one of you who has come to Jesus Christ made that choice, placed your faith in him. You may have felt the fear, but you placed your faith in him and you saw that battle won for you. And ultimately, God is going to be coming back again in person of his son, Jesus. And we're going to get to see one more final battle in which evil is obliterated once and for all. And all of us who call upon his name will be taken home with him forever to heaven, where there's no more sin, no more death, no more struggle. Now we have to see the victory coming gradually in our lives and see it ultimately by faith. Then we'll see it in reality. So that's what God does. And this is what we are invited to do in the meantime. Pray, proclaim, and praise. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done, for the battle that you have waged and won on our behalf. Thank you that we can trust you in the hard times, when things feel like they're out of our control. And in fact, they very well may be, but they are never out of your control. And we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. We thank you that you're for us, Lord. And that if you are for us, who can be against us? No one and nothing. And thank you, God, that you are for us because you love us. because Jesus died for us and rose again, and we've placed our faith in him. Now we can love you and serve you with all of our hearts and praise you. And we do that together now in Jesus' name. Amen.